Well, it depends what we're talking about. If we're talking about facts that, you know, Adventure Time is made by these certain people, right, it was made from this time to this time, I'll accept those as facts.
Okay.
But if you're going to tell me that what it means is,
it's not what,
or what it represents
oh,
is,
boy.
Then you're
I think this is a pretty, this is a pretty basic thing. I think this is...
No,
this
it's
is
not basic.
No, it is. It
no,
really
not.
Is. You
no,
just haven't
not.
Researched it enough. Really.
But I don't have to research it. I watch the show a lot.
Uh-huh.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
And I'm Ian Boothby. As you know, on Sneaky Dragon's Den, we bring in people, they show us their inventions, and we decide whether we're going to give them money we don't have.
Exactly.
But they don't realize we have no money at all, but we're still going to question them about all of the inventions that they've got and have sunk their dreams into them and been real sarcastic. And we're going to bring in a woman who's got a bit of white in her hair, and she's really going to look like she's going to go for it, and then she won't.
She won't. Oh, let me say that I have a blank check. Right here, I will not fill it out or sign it, and it's outdated. It actually is for a bank account that I no longer use, but it is a blank check.
Yes.
So I think that's... The other thing I want to point out is that we're here today in the Sneaky Dragon Sweat Lodge.
Yep.
Where I've got some tobacco. We're going to burn later on. I'm going to blow some in your face. I don't know why people did that, but that's what we're going to do.
Well, that's what you do when you're a rich guy. And we're now the rich guys blowing smoke. Here's the thing. Like, last week, basically, we had the end of days. Dave had lightning storms behind him, and it was dramatic. So clearly, the rapture has occurred. We did not go to the good place, and that's why we're so damn hot this week. But we can't really complain. Again, in Vancouver, the way it goes is you complain about the heat, and then you get like 4 months of nothing but cold rain. So we're not complaining, oh Lord of Storms.
I'm not complaining because my deck is still not completed.
So. Oh well, Dave, I didn't intro. Okay, we got to do our plugs first.
Okay,
and then we get into deck talk.
Let's do our plugs.
All right. If you're listening to this on Saturday when this episode drops, and you want to come say hi, you can't unless you're in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Saskatoon.
At least for me, you could go to Aldergrove and say hi to Dave. But for me, I'm there at Sask Expo, which is a Saskatchewan Expo.
Yeah.
I'm there with. Remember on the X-Files, there was a guy who smoked cigarettes. He's going to be there.
That's right, he did.
Yeah, cigarette-smoking man. He's going to be there. And
he didn't even smoke.
That's what they said.
That's the amazing thing.
Amazing that a guy who... You know what? Sometimes people who murder people on TV aren't actually killers in real life.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, that totally ruined television for me.
Did it?
So he really didn't live with two beautiful women in an apartment and go to the... Regal Beagle.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. The amount of time you spend on a sitcom set, he probably spent more time living with him than, he would have if he was really living with him.
Okay.
You know? Okay. And, you know, he was pretending to be gay, but he was actually pretending to pretend to be gay.
He was actually pretending...
To pretend. He was double pretending. He was double acting. He was playing a character that was pretending something else. That's why Shakespeare plays are the best plays, because they always have characters who are pretending in them. So an actor has to pretend to be the character who's pretending.
Oh, I see what you're
saying.
That's
too deep, brother. That's two octaves of acting.
I see what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah.
He was pretending... He was an actor who was pretending to be a person who was gay.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Now, but here's the... That's why Shakespeare plays are the best. Is because they have that, and that's what makes them the best. But anyway, back to the plugs. Okay. I'm in Saskatchewan. Please come see me in Saskatchewan.
I think you meant to say the so-called Shakespeare plays. Oh. Am I right, truthers? Go on with your story.
Oh, are you the truth in bacon? is that what you are? Are you a Marlowe man?
I think it was a woman.
You think it was a woman?
Yeah.
Named?
Maud.
Well, then there's Maud. So, Saskatchewan, that's where I'm at. If you enjoy reading, hey, I've written a book. And it's mostly about improv, but it's also about, you know, a life in the arts and not making yourself crazy. It's called It's About Tolerance Stupid, and it's on Amazon, on Kindle. So if you want to download that, do that. Dave bought one with $5 cash last week.
Yep.
And promptly erased it to make room for some more Jane Austen and Trollope books.
Yes, I couldn't fit it on my Kobo. Actually, I don't have my Kobo yet. It's still in the netherworld of we found it. We're going to get it back to you sometime.
Yeah.
ellipse, you know, dot, dot, dot.
Dot, 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 dot.
So yeah. good intentions.
And I think the only other thing which we always mention is, hey, you know, winter's coming, as they say on Game of Thrones, and that means it's shirt wearing season. Like, summertime, you can go without a shirt.
But you know that I do.
Yeah, come autumn, you're going back to school, you know, the crispness in the air, the leaves are falling down. If a leaf hits your bare skin, that's a lot of leaves are poisonous.
So when the leaves are brown.
And the sky's gray.
Yeah.
And you're going for a walk.
On a summer's day. Winter's day.
Winter's day. That's right. You need a fucking shirt, as the song says.
You need a fucking shirt.
Exactly. So go to the Sneaky Dragon website and pick yourself up a shirt designed by young David Dedrick.
Yes.
Okay.
By the younger version of me.
All right. Plugs are out of the way. We know why you tune into the show. We're just going to get to it now. Dave tried to jump the gun like Mother Superior. And so let me just do the intro that we always do
love
for Dave's.
Song. Love that song. Oh, can I just plug one more thing before we go
on? Oh, please do.
On?
We're in the plug area.
I meant to plug this. And
do you know what it is? Remember like when we were kids? Take a drink. And there was all those ads like, don't octopus your plugs.
Yeah.
Don't do that because it's the worst thing in the world. Don't make your plugs into an octopus and shove all the plugs in. Yeah, that wasn't really that big a deal, was it, really? Okay. Anyway, we just have that many plugs right now.
I remember the commercials being, don't Bogart that plug, my friend.
That's right. Tommy
Pass
Chong says...
Pass it over to me.
All right, please, Dave, the final plug.
Fraternity of Man, I believe, did that song. Pass it over to me. Oh, sorry, the plug, yeah. I just wanted to say that I put up a new What Is Dave Doing on the website. It's been a while. I
want to tease it. What is Dave doing generally?
Well, I was reading some Trollope. Even though my Kobo is gone, the book I was reading and the next book in the chronology, I both had a physical copy of. So I've been reading those.
So books also exist in physical form.
Yes.
Good for them. Good for books.
Yeah, you know,
keeping it real.
Keep it real. And then I read a really interesting book called The Beatles Versus the Rolling Stones. Which was right up my alley. It was really short. I read it in about a night. Mm-hmm. It was more of a transcript between two music critics who going back and forth on who was better, the Beatles or the Stones. What are you? Are you a Rolling Stone person or are you a Beatles person?
Right. And if you read that, could you go like, oh shit, I'm a Turtles man by mistake? Like, would you be surprised?
No, it didn't go outside of that.
Okay, just so
because if you're a Turtles person, you're kind of a Beatles person.
Ah, if you're a Monkees person, also a Beatles
person?
You're
a Beatles person, yeah.
What if you're an Animals person?
You'd be a Rolling Stone person.
Oh, this is an interesting game. Okay. I wish I knew more bands. What if you were a question mark and the Mysterians?
Rolling Stones.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. All right. Hey, everybody. This is a fun thing to do. Write in to our webpage, sneakydragon.com, and ask Dave about a band and see if it's a Rolling Stones band or a Beatles band.
I think it's pretty obvious. I think if you're a fan of those bands, then
well,
it's pretty obvious.
I know, but there's people who aren't. They would like to know.
The Birds? Beatles. Beatles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cream.
Cream. Oh, boy. That's a good one. They kind of fall. I would say Rolling Stone.
Very nice.
More bluesy than anything else.
Wings.
They are an ex-Beatles band.
Okay. So, Dave's got his thing up about what's Dave up to, and that's, again, on SneakyDragon.com.
Yeah, so I read the book, and then it made me so mad in some ways that I listened to some Rolling Stone records, so I talk about those and compare Exile on Main Street with the White Album, so it's had some fun. And then I had to do a little palate cleansing and listen to some music that was not in any way related to the 60s at all, so it was like a lot of 80s. Well, I guess I did listen to the 60s, but it was like singer-songwriter women. And 80s pop. So
thanks, gals.
Yeah, thanks, gals.
All right, so check out Dave talking about that. Now, all right, I'm going to intro your bit. Are you ready?
Okay.
Deck the halls with talking about decks, 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 decks. It's time for deck talk. Here comes Dave. He's going to talk decks now. Decks, decks, decks. It's time for deck talk. And Dave, how's your deck doing this week?
My deck it's creeping along. I've got to say that...
You've got creeping deck syndrome?
I have creeping deck syndrome.
Well, pull up your pants.
I have creeping work syndrome is the thing. But, you know, I'm a busy guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a busy guy. I do a podcast. I don't know if you heard of it. It's called Sneaky Dragon.
You seem to phone that in.
And I do it once a week.
Uh-huh.
And it takes a lot of time.
Sure does.
You know, my Saturdays...
Talking for an hour takes about... How long does that take, Dave?
My Saturdays are pretty... Well, you know, the thing is,
I know. You all do hard shit afterwards.
And then on Friday nights, often, I won't say every Friday, but often on Fridays, I'll do the editing in the show. And get ready, get the drawing ideas done. And then on Saturday, I'll do the actual drawing.
Right.
Like last Saturday, this is an example. Last Saturday, I got up about 8 in the morning.
Okay.
And then I worked for...
There's an 8 in the morning
breakfast.
Now.
I had breakfast.
Interesting. All right.
Then I was out in the shop by about 9-ish. I had to do the laundry, too. And then I worked for about 2 hours, and then I had to go pick up my daughter in Maple Ridge. mm-hmm. which is about an hour, well, half an hour drive away.
Right. She was in prison. You had to pick her up. She was
in prison there. And she was at a pony club thing. And so I drove out there. And then I got home at 3. Like, my whole day was gone.
Yep.
Just doing this one simple task. It's a half an hour there.
Absolutely.
A half an hour back.
Yes.
And yet, I was home at 3. Partly because she lost her iPod at the barn. So we spent 40 minutes looking for her iPod. And she was so upset. This is Phyllis. She was so upset. She was actually crying while we were looking
for it. Wait, was this the iPod that she lost last time? Like, there was something that she was upset because of her iPod and it was missing. This was last week's discussion.
That was Millis, and that was her iPhone. Her iPhone was broken.
Her iPhone was broken.
Yeah.
And then that's
been taken care of.
Okay, and the next week, the iPod goes missing. So Steve Jobs' ghost is responsible for most of your problems.
Fortunately, what she had done is she tucked it into her riding helmet,
mm-hmm.
hung up her riding helmet, which, of course, you hang up away from yourself, right, so that you can see the top of the helmet.
Okay.
And she couldn't see the iPod inside it. We spent 40 minutes looking for it, and then just on the off chance, she looked inside the helmet, and there it was. And you know when you've made your dad look for something for 40 minutes and cried about it? That embarrassed look you're going to have walking back towards him with the iPod in your hand?
Oh, no, that's not what you do. What you do is you then toss it in some hay near Papa. So when Papa looks over and sees it and goes like, daughter, darling daughter, I have found your... Oh, thank you, Father.
What if I stepped on it?
Well, you got to buy her a new one, don't you?
That's true.
Because your dumb dad who stepped on the iPod.
I guess so. No matter what, she's all right.
She's in the win-win.
No, I was fine. I was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I was not mad or anything.
Good for you not being mad.
And I said to her, because she was really upset, and I said, you know what, dear? It's just a thing. Like, if you lost it, we could buy another one.
Right.
It's not that big a deal.
And then she went, Dad, can I have another one that's...
I said, no. It has a phone attached to it? No.
You got a regular family circus at your house.
Yeah, that's about it. I have little ghosts that run around.
Yep. Now, are you the older version of the dad on Family Circus or the new version of the dad? Because old version of the dad is a smoking, drinking guy with no glasses who's about 100 pounds overweight. Okay. And then new dad comes on later with glasses and tight abs and barrel chest and is always working.
So
which one are you?
Where do I fall in that?
Yeah.
You know me better than I know myself.
I'm going to say you're more a Beatles dad.
I'm more the Beatles dad. That's right. Beatles.
Hey, Charlie Brown, more Beatles or Rolling Stones?
What, Charlie Brown?
Let's go the Peanuts, yeah. Peanuts. Rolling Stones, Beatles.
Beatles.
Yeah,
sure.
I'd say Beatles as well. Yeah. Interesting. Star Wars, Beatles, Rolling Stones.
Beatles to me.
Interesting. All right. Canada, Beatles, Rolling Stone.
Canada's totally Beatles.
America?
Rolling Stones.
Okay. Mexico?
Rolling Stones.
Okay. England?
Beatles.
The planet Jupiter.
Planet Jupiter? Which one's Jupiter?
It's the biggest one.
It's a big one?
Yeah, it's the one that's got the spot that just gets checked by a doctor.
That's Rolling Stones.
Yeah. I hope that spot turns out to be okay.
But Saturn.
I'm worried about Jupiter.
Saturn's definitely Beatles.
Well, yeah, Saturn's got the rings because it's filthy.
It's Ringo.
Oh, there you go. Bang. All right, back to the deck.
Not enough deck talk. I'm just saying that as an example, right? So, you know, that's my day. Then you get home and then I made dinner.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then the evening, you do something else. I think I might have watched a movie. But anyway, so I went outside. I think I finished the drawing around 2
You go outside, you scream.
I scream.
It's daddy's screaming time.
Why? So I think I finished the drawing finally about 2:30.
And then someone yells an answer and you go, it was rhetorical.
Then on Sunday wasn't much better. I did get something done on it, but even Sunday I was busy. I had to take someone somewhere and I was home at 4.
Right.
So, like, as I say, the deck project is creeping along.
Absolutely.
But I have... So, all the plywood is off. All the fucking glue that was... my stupid neighbor next door advised us to put on it while we were making it. I've sanded all that down now.
Right.
So, everything is level and ready for the new plywood to go on it. All I need to do before I do that is put the fascia on the side.
Mm-hmm.
That covers the actual, like, the 2x10s or whatever that are surrounding it. I have to put the fascia on that to cover it up, and then I can put the plywood on top of that.
Well, now here's the thing. Clearly, the amount of detail you're getting into here, this needs to go online. People want to know about the deck. We've heard about the deck. We need to see the deck. And
you
pictures? I'm going to give you a title for this. Okay.
Okay.
The whole project. I want to see for as far back as you can.
Okay.
If you have a shot of what the deck used to look like, that's great.
Okay.
If you don't, feel free to do like a little doodle or something.
Sure.
And you call the whole project. You ready for this, Dave?
Yeah, I'm ready.
This is what you call it. This is called branding.
Okay.
The decathlon.
Oh, I like it.
That's what you call it. Okay. And then we just see the whole process. And this is what is going to lift our podcast up from the rest. Because no one else is talking about working on their deck.
I think you're right. And I think there's a reason.
Maybe there is. Yeah. And maybe that reason is they haven't figured it out yet.
They haven't figured it out.
Someone has to invent penicillin. Maybe we have with this. Maybe that's what everyone's like, hey, what are you guys talking about? Pop culture and your personal lives, painful stories from the past with a little sheen of frosting of glee. Listen, buddy, what I want to hear is deck talk. Let's get down to brass tacks if they are in a deck.
Sorry, I just want to go back a little bit. A sheen or frosting of glee, is glee a code word for semen?
Wow. I don't know. I don't know what you use on your deck.
Okay.
No, I would just.
About,
I would use.
I thought you were talking about the past. You said,
Dave, what do you think caulking is?
It's a lot of work.
I can see why this project has taken a while.
And you know, it's maybe three times a day for me at my age. Yeah. Maybe at most.
When I can't watch a movie.
And I have limited interests, so you know, it's a lot.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
I know at least one listener that was happy with that discussion.
Okay.
Now we can move on. You're right though. Like that's my thing now. It's just finding hours in the day. It's been a beautiful summer's week, and damn, if I could find some time to do anything summery, I can't. Yeah. Just like there's always something that needs a doing or something needs pursuing or for crying out loud, I get to the end of the day and I go like, I need like five more hours. Just to get the basics done. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Well, I don't want to bring it up again, but in this my most recent, what is Dave doing? I mentioned in the beginning that whole kind of summer reading list thing that people do where they're like, what are you reading this summer?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think like, what are you reading this summer? Like, when do you have time? Like, I don't know. I don't own a cottage. You know, I don't work for the CBC or for newspapers where I can take 2 months to go away and
Wait. I worked from the CBC since I was 13. Uh-huh. Who gets a cottage?
People in Toronto.
What? Oh, yeah, I guess Toronto. Yeah. Now that does make sense.
They get cottage country there.
Ah, God damn it.
You know what we get?
What?
Cottage cheese.
I wish we got cottage cheese.
We didn't get that?
We don't get cottage
cheese. We get cabins, but we don't get cottages.
That's true.
Yeah.
We are cabin folk.
We're cabin
folk. All right, cabins. More Rolling Stones or Beatles?
Oh, come on. Cabins would have to be Rolling Stones.
Really? Because I'm thinking they might be made with Norwegian wood.
Dude, that's possible. But I'm still going to give it to... I think cottages are Beatles.
Cabins are Rolling Stones. Okay. Yeah. You might summer, if it's not too dear, you might scrimp and save. Get on that cottage in the Isle of Wight. Is that how it goes?
Right, yeah.
Ah, fuck. Pulled a reference with cottage out of my repertoire. Oh, geez, that was hard. I'm playing Beatles games with the master. I feel terrible.
I'm terrible at that.
Are you?
I cannot remember lyrics at all. Like, I'm the worst. Like, I cannot... like, if you said, well, Dave, sing me, like, a song from... Like, yeah, sing me When I'm 64. I could not.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Let me give you a quick Beatles quiz here, right here.
Okay.
Name five.
Yeah.
Of the fifth Beatles.
Five of the fifth Beatles.
Five people that are considered possibly the fifth Beatle.
Stu Sutcliffe, the first bassist who played with them in Hamburg and died of a brain hemorrhage. Brian Epstein, their manager. Murray the K, who declared himself the fifth Beatle.
Yeah.
George Martin, who should truly be considered the first Beatle. And Neil Aspinall, their longtime friend, roadie, who ran Apple Records to his death. So
a nice one. Now I'm gonna tell you something. We have Netflix, and my wife Pia and I are working on a little series about a married couple right now. We're like doing a little pitch.
Okay.
Okay.
So. It's called Wait Till Your Father Gets Home.
No. Well, okay. No, that's an interesting show. That one. So we said, you know what? Let's watch some Mad About Yous. Did I tell you about this?
No.
Watching Mad About Yous.
This is a strange decision.
Yeah. So we went like, well, what's a show that's got a lot of nice back and forth between a couple, and obviously one of my favorites there is Dick Van Dyke. I love that relationship between a couple. But you know, the one that's like the kind of Bickersons type situation.
That's more what it is.
Yeah.
It's not really back and forth. It's more back at you.
So we watched about three Now, here's a little backstory for me. I worked on a sitcom that had the same producer as Mad About You. And one of the writers on Mad About You was the head writer. And he'd always gone on about how the Mad About You room was the best room. And they came up with the best stuff. And so it's a little bit of an older brother that I can't, you know, we always had to compare ourselves to that we could never be as good as. So I've always had a little Mad About You chip on my shoulder. But I never really watched the show. So I've watched the show now because it's on Netflix. It's fucking awful. It is fucking, fucking, fucking awful. And yes. I know, like, you know, like, I try to give things, you know...
It's funny you say
maybe
that.
Maybe I go, like, it's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I since... And normally I'm in that camp of, like, it's just not for me. But I watched the episode, and the reason that I'm bringing this up is with Yoko Ono. I dare you to watch that episode and not say it's one of the worst things you've ever seen. Like, it's just...
Does she sing on it?
I think there might be a little recording of her singing in it. But she's god-awful. She's given god-awful things to do.
Yeah.
They're god-awful. Mm-hmm. Their motivations are terrible and make no sense.
Yeah.
Nothing makes sense. And, like, here's the whole premise. I'll give you the whole premise is...
Would it have made sense if it was still the 90s?
What drugs are we on in the 90s? Is it that the Prozac generation?
Ecstasy.
Really? 90s or ecstasy?
MDMA. Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was more of the knots, but okay.
No, no.
All right, fair enough.
Really?
So here's the premise. Like, Paul Reiser is a doctor.
I don't know, because house music and stuff is from the 90s.
So. Okay, fair enough. I always think, you know, grunge and whatnot, but maybe I'm wrong. The Seattle scene. I thought it was back to basics.
But yeah, but
wear a plaid shirt.
Well, kind of, but I mean, that was America. In England, you had, like, the whole house culture and, like, Stone Roses and... And Happy Mondays and those sort of bands.
Okay, it felt like that went to America later. But for the point of me hacking over this episode, let's just go back to that. So Paul Reiser, his thing is
he's mad about you, Beatles or Stones?
Oh, Jesus
Herman's
Christ.
Hermits. Okay, go on.
Which do you like less?
No, you just say it's Herman's Hermits.
Okay.
And just go on from there.
All right. Okay, so so Paul Reiser is a documentary filmmaker. And he's going, I don't know what to, I'm going to do him wrong. I'm not going to do a Paul Reiser impression. I'm just going to do like a generic guy with an accent that might sound slightly,
New Yorkish?
Something. Okay. So yeah, it's like, what am I going to do? I can't think of any ideas for my new documentary. The wife goes, hey, you know, Yoko Ono's in town, as all sitcoms go, that this person just happens to be
in town. Do they live in New York?
I don't fucking know. Something.
She lives in New York.
Yeah, but she's wanting to, and yet she wants to do a project. And remember how she likes you? No, we've never established that before.
Okay.
She liked your last film. You should talk to Yoko. I don't want to talk to Yoko. Talk to Yoko. I don't want to talk to Yoko. Talk to Yoko. It's that one. And, so, and then he goes, and then he's like pitching his ideas to his boss, and he's got nothing. And then he goes, you know, Yoko Ono, we love that idea. I know Yoko. I got to go Yoko. So he goes to Yoko, and the motivation is on the wife, like she wants to meet Yoko and she's a big fan of Yoko and wants to see Yoko.
Okay.
And once you get to Yoko, she drops that and she's just an idiot who's like handling all of Yoko's vases and throwing them up and down for no reason. She just
they're pronounced vases.
Yeah, whatever they are, and it's terrible. Anyway, so the horrible story short, she's like, yes, I'd like to do a documentary with you. Oh, that's great.
Okay.
And he goes, what do you want to make it
Can
up?
Can I ask one question?
Yes.
Does she take off her sunglasses?
Yes, she's not wearing sunglasses.
Okay.
He goes, do you want to make a document? Yes, I do. I was like, oh, what do you want to make it about? And she goes, I want to film the wind. Okay. So she wants to film the wind.
I didn't know she was German.
Whatever. I can't do an accent right now.
Okay.
I'm so angry about this show. It sucked all the fun and talent out of me. So it's like, yeah, we'll do that.
So you turned into me.
We'll do the wind. So... there's literally 10 minutes of people going, she wants to film the wind. How do you film the wind? You can't film the wind. You can't see the wind. There's no way of filming the wind. Okay. There's ways. There's 1,000 ways to film the wind.
Yes.
There's leaves in the wind.
Yeah.
The wind's blowing an American flag. There's this over that. And so the whole premise is you can't. It's impossible. She's crazy. She wants to film the wind. What a nut. And now they flip the characters somehow. And the wife is getting on this guy's ass for like, you were really kissing her ass, basically, without saying kissing her ass. No, you were. This was your plot line at the beginning. Have you just forgotten and you flip motivations halfway through? Because no one gives a fuck. And so it all resolves with him finally going, I don't know how to film the wind. And she goes, we don't have to film the wind. The end.
Wah, wah.
Go to credits, and credits roll over the three of them in bed while all we are saying, give peace a chance, plays. And they're all just sitting in bed, and they're all just reading together. And then it ends with her going, yeah, give peace a chance. And then Paul Reiser goes, that's all we're saying. And then that's the end of the episode. And I love my TV, but I had a shoe on the ground, and I just want to huck it. And I know it's not the TV's fault, but it was the worst. Was the worst.
I hope they wheeled in the corpse of El Cap during the end credits.
That is a long reach.
Thank you.
That is a long reach.
It's not called the reach.
Al Cap, when John Lennon and Yoko Ono were doing their
bed in
for peace, yeah. Al Cap came in and was all sarcastic with them and
said mean things about Yoko.
That's right. And here's the thing. It's like, you can be that guy, but John Lennon's funnier than you.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem. That so he's got the British wit, and you're going to just look like the yokel, the mean yokel, whatever you do.
People make fun of Yoko Ono, but actually I think a lot of her art that she was doing in the 60s was really kind of interesting.
Oh, I'm sure it was. Yeah. It like, just, it was new. So people don't like new things.
It was interesting, like her film Bottoms, which is just people's bottoms. It's kind of a fun idea. A lot of it's... And there's one piece that she did where people cut off her clothing with scissors a bit at a time. And that was very interesting. And then what really attracted John Lennon to her was when she did her... I can't remember the name of it, but she did a...
The thing with the ladder?
An art gallery, the Indica Gallery in London. That's right. And when he was, you know, he had to climb the ladder and there was a magnifying glass. And he just assumed when he got there, it was just going to say, like, up yours or some sort of sarcastic thing. And it said... You know, something like, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like, you know, be happy or peace or whatever, right?
It was love, I believe.
Yeah, it was just this happy thing. And that really turned him on to what she was doing. And I even think a lot of her music that she was doing in the 70s was quite good. So,
well, I think
it's kind of, the shrieking in a bag, I could do without. Yeah. But this, the actual music is...
Well, I mean, you look at John Lennon, you think of, like, what his upbringing was, which was, you know, a lot of sarcasm. Like, you're the poor kids, mm-hmm. and they're sarcastic, and it's sarcastic and mean. And I think what he was able to do was with the... this is just me talking out of my ass. With the Beatles, was able to take that anger and sarcasm and witticism and actually turn it towards a good end. And so, you know, it became towards love. Like, it started off, you know, more generic, but went to that. Yeah, so I think I can see how that would appeal. That like you like wit, you like something different, and you know, and if it doesn't have a nihilistic core, oh hey, all the better. That's great.
There's something. Yeah, obviously he was looking for something after his drug, after his LSD. You know, 2 years of LSD, he needed something different. You know, and that offered for a brief time a respite from that. Of course, he became a heroin addict soon after. So. Really didn't go into complete.
Oh boy!
But that was one of the big problems with the Let It Be project was that Lennon was on heroin during the filming and just was not really there.
Did he get off heroin?
Eventually, this is a song he did, Cold Turkey, that the Beatles wouldn't record, so he did it himself as a Plastic Ono Band.
Oh, how was it?
It's very raucous and raw. Yeah, reflecting I guess the experience of going cold turkey. Albert Goldman, in his book about Lennon, maintains that Lennon was still using heroin for a long time after the 60s. So I don't know. Lennon didn't admit to it, so
yeah.
I don't know.
It's a real fucker, that heroin.
It is, and so is Albert Goldman. So it's hard to know if he was telling the truth or not.
Yeah.
It's just more dishing the dirt.
I got so much sympathy. But just, boy. Yeah. Damn it. I hate heroin so much. I really, 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 really do.
Is that right?
Yeah, if there was one drug that you could just like take, just make vanish, that'd be beautiful. I'd love to see how the neighborhood just down the hill changes.
Yeah.
You know, it would be it'd be great.
But I mean, do they use a lot of heroin down there anymore? I would say it's much.
What do you think it is? Meth.
I would say meth.
Yeah, it's probably moved on to meth.
If you see them now,
but it was heroin that sort of made things what they are. Meth has now built on that, but it was heroin that did the damage that is there.
A combination of heroin and cocaine runs through that area.
Yeah.
Yes. If you see someone there with their arms are all pitted, that's the cocaine.
Yeah.
And it's not very nice.
Hey everybody, don't do drugs.
Yeah, I don't recommend it.
No, I don't either. I even like doing acid for 2 years. Just like
I don't recommend that either. It was really debilitating for him.
Yeah, of like course it would be.
He really lost himself during that time period.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
I mean, before that, when you look at like Hard Day's Night, Lennon practically wrote that album. It maybe has 4 McCartney songs on it. The rest of the album is all Lennon. Like Lennon was just in his prime at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and he was still writing the majority of the singles. And then, you know, once he started on the LSD and stuff, he just seemed to lose all interest. And maybe it's a good thing that he lost his competitive edge. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of doubt it. I think that, you know, as an artist, to be driven is a good thing. To be laying around getting fat in your home in Esher, you know, eating whatever he is eating. Brownies? Cookies? I don't know. But anyway, I mean, he did go through an unhappy, what he called his fat beetle phase. So.
Yeah. Though I would love to see a band called the Fat Beatles.
There is a band called the Fat Beatles.
What? Explain.
I don't know. There's a tribute band out there.
Is there?
And they're called the Fat Beatles.
I know, like, I know the miniature version of Kiss.
When we leave, when we finish the show, we will Google the fat Beatles and we will find a tribute band.
I think we're just going to see a bunch of pictures of Beatles that are fat. Can an insect get fat? Beatles. You ever see a fat wasp? Could there be a fat wasp?
I don't think so.
Has too much to eat?
Aren't they like all the same?
Are they?
I think so.
Let us know, everybody.
Any entomologists out there or would-be entomologists, please let us know.
Here's just a general question. Can only mammals get fat? Like if you get a fat pigeon, maybe? Can you get a fat pigeon? That seems like that'd be possible.
I think you get fat birds because you can fatten up. You can fatten a bird up.
Oh, you do fatten a bird up. Yeah. Of course you do. There's butterballs. What am I talking about? Asked and answered, Ian. Asked and answered.
I was thinking about fish.
A fat fish.
But I don't know. I don't.
Can fish eat to excess, and then like hate themselves for it? Well, because they have no mirrors.
It's not just can we eat to excess. It's what our fat is for storage, right?
Yeah.
So like it's not just when it's done.
There's fatty tuna.
Is there fatty tuna?
Yeah, fatty tuna, yeah. So can a fatty tuna get too fat?
I don't know.
Oh, that's a good question.
We'll have to get a fatty tuna on the show and ask him some questions. Listen, tuna, we have some questions for you.
Yeah, but then you call him fat and he just starts crying, which is okay because he wouldn't be able to breathe unless he had water.
Because I think fish are limited where they can, I don't know.
Okay, are fish Beatles or Rolling Stones?
Fish are Beatles.
Okay. Dolphins?
Beatles.
Dolphins are Beatles?
Yeah,
I give you that. Well, name a fish that's a Rolling Stone.
Shark.
Okay, yeah, I'm all on board that. For those of you that don't know, younger listeners, don't know who the Rolling Stones are, you've seen Pirates of the Caribbean, Johnny Depp's dad, he's one of them.
That's not a good... If you don't know who the Rolling Stones are, I feel very sorry for you, for one thing.
Also, you've probably seen some really terrible Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Yeah. Go to YouTube and type in the Rolling Stones and, type in Gimme Shelter. You can't always get what you want. That's your best period.
Now, here's a question I have about music and whatnot. I'm going to come from the place of complete ignorance. Now, the Beatles had a series of movies.
Yes.
That some better, some not as good.
They're all good.
Okay, interesting. So, Magical Mystery Tour to you is good?
I love that movie.
All right.
I do love that movie.
Interesting. I have not seen all of it, so I cannot judge.
Hey, the Bonzos are in it.
Very good. All right. Now, was this a common thing for a band to do in the 60s? Were there any other bands that had their own movies? Or was the Beatles it?
They did their own television show like that?
Obviously, there were some television shows, but...
The Rolling Stones tried it. They did the Rolling Stone Rock and Roll Circus.
What was this?
It was a TV show. I think it was from 1969. And it was the Rolling Stones, but it also had The Who, Jethro Tull... It had John Lennon, Eric Clapton playing together
in a form of the classic Ono band. But okay, now you get something like A Hard Day's Night. That's an actual movie.
Yeah.
That's got the band, it's got a plot, mm-hmm. it's got songs in it, yeah. but it's like a musical.
Yeah.
Now, this Rolling Stones thing, did that have
a
plot?
No, it's more just a collection of performances.
Right. Now, had any other band at the time or since, or in that era, done those kind of movies, like Magical Mystery Tour, like Help? Hard Day's Night.
Magical Mystery Tour isn't really like Help or Hard Day's Night. It's kind of sui generis, the Latin
okay.
term for it.
Okay, let's just
its
go
own
with
thing, right?
It's fantastic. Totally let's go just with Help and Hard Day's Night. Those kind of movies, they were successful. Mm-hmm. Both were successful.
Very successful.
So were they then duplicated as successful things were? One,
yes.
Were they the first
they
of
were.
Their kind?
They were both duplicated, and it was called The Monkees.
On television?
The Monkees were an exact... copy of what those films were. I mean,
agreed.
And Help, there's that scene where they all walk up to their houses and there's the four doors and they walk in the four doors and then it's just one big giant room inside where they all live together.
Right.
The Monkees took that idea of four musicians living together and they made it smaller.
Definitely.
Of course,
the Monkees TV show definitely was based on the Beatles films. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going for films.
Yeah.
It seems strange to me that you had a very big success in the movies and no movie companies went, let's duplicate this.
Well,
instead, they just went, that's good for you guys. Done.
There were other ones. There was one featuring Herman's Hermits. I can't remember the name of it, sorry.
Did you actually get to see Mrs. Brown's lovely daughter?
You might have. I don't know. I've never seen it.
Okay.
I do have the record, but I've never seen the movie. And I think there was one with the Spencer Davis Group. Here We Go Around the Mulberry Bush.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that the thing for the Beatles was that they were the first... Like, who was the next biggest band that you could do that with? I would say the Rolling Stones.
Okay.
The Rolling Stones, their whole selling point. Everything that they did was anti-Beatles, right? Like their manager, Andrew Luke Oldham, worked for Brian Epstein very early on in the Beatles' career. So he took what he learned from Brian Epstein and applied it to the Rolling Stones. But the one thing he did was he took the Rolling Stones and he positioned them as the opposite to the Beatles.
Mm.
Right? So whereas the Beatles were clean-cut, suit-wearing, mop-top, lovable lads, the Rolling Stones were
serial killers.
Yeah, serial killers, as, you know, ruffians, as hoodlums, as would you want your daughter to go out with these boys? You know, this rough trade sort of idea. You know, the whole presentation of them was very different.
Okay.
And so the idea of taking that identity and finding money to make a movie would be very difficult. So I don't think it really worked for them in that way. Like, there was really no Rolling Stones movies until much later. There's a Jean-Luc Godard film that's very dull. If you edit it down, you can just edit out the parts where they're working on Sympathy for the Devil.
Yeah.
And it's like them working in the studio on Sympathy for the Devil, and you get to see in real time just how boring it is to work on a song in the studio. But it's intercut with, like, you know, interminable minutes of revolutionaries talking to the camera, scenes of students rioting in Paris, and all this other revolutionary stuff. And then it cuts back to the Rolling Stones humming away or tinkling on the piano,
yeah,
trying to get this song to come together.
I do like the idea of showing that making a song is work, and not just like, I got the idea, yeah, let's do it, bring, yeah, it in. Okay, I'm going to keep going.
No, it is fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I'm going to keep going back because I want to mine this, because this is something I am genuinely curious at.
Okay.
Now, before you had Hard Day's Night, you, mm-hmm, had Elvis doing all his movies,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You had your Jailhouse Rock.
Before that, you had like The Girl Can't Help It, which is a musical. Is done like a Hollywood musical, but it uses like the rock acts of the day. So I think, like, I can't remember who's it. Eddie Cochran's in it, and
okay,
it's been a while since I saw it.
Well, this is the thing. It seems
it was directed by the guy who directed like a bunch of Martin and Lewis films as well, and he worked for Warner Brother cartoons.
Oh,
as well.
Interesting.
And I can't remember his name. Someone in the audience is going like, it's such and such.
Wait, is this someone who did Merry Melodies?
Yeah, yeah, it's stuff like that.
Do you want me to just list Merry Melodies directors? Friz Freleng.
No.
Okay, Chuck Jones.
It's not one of the major ones. It would be someone who's a bit less well-known.
Robert McKimson.
Not him.
Okay, it's not Bob Clampett.
No.
No. All right, then I'm out.
Yeah, no, I can't think of his name. Audience person who's yelling at us.
Let us know.
We can't hear you, but you can just write it in and let us know.
Yeah, please stop yelling. Save your throat.
Sorry, Frank Tashlin. There we go.
Very good.
I remembered.
Now, yeah, because it seems it went from Elvis.
And there was once Cliff Richard in England. He did films, too, like... what's it called? Cafe Abongo or some kind of name like that? Or Cafe Agogo?
And
or
then,
Bongo,
and then,
Bongo Agogo? Or
and
Bongo
then after
music?
Okay, after Magical Mystery Tour, which did not do as well as the others.
It did really well.
Did it?
It did really well as an afterlife. Like, it was originally, it was stupidly made. It was a film, it was a psychedelic movie,
yeah,
that was shown on Boxing Day in black and white. Does that make any sense to anybody?
Wait, it was shown on television first?
It was shown on television first, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was made as for a TV. But it was made to be like this colorful extravaganza.
Right.
And it was shown on a television in black and white.
Okay, but I'm assuming...
So it had a super big life as film rental to like to universities and stuff like that after.
Yeah.
So it actually had like a quite...
Well, how could it be a failure then? Because I'm assuming like...
It wasn't a failure. It's a great film.
Well, no. What I mean is like if it was shown on Boxing Day,
yeah,
people don't know it's going to be not...
Oh, no, it had a huge viewership.
That's what I mean.
It was critically panned.
Oh, well, who gives a shit?
Oh, yeah, fuck them.
Yeah.
I mean, watching a show, it's got Magical Mystery Tour. It's got Fool on the Hill. It's got the greatest song, I Am the Walrus.
Now, did these get introduced in this?
This was they were never heard before this came out.
Wow, that's an interesting Boxing
They're
Day.
They're all made for that.
And that's considered the big failure, is that huge success.
The original release of the album in England was 245s in a booklet with a fold-out,
yeah,
booklet. It had, like, all the... lyrics and had little drawings based from the TV show.
Okay, let's go to the 70s now. Now, in the 70s, was this kind of thing pursued past that point? Like obviously, Beatles are wrapped up. We're done. Thanks, fellas.
Yeah.
Did anyone else do, like, David Bowie ever, like, I know he's in movies, but, like, ever know none of that business?
There's none. I mean, I guess the closest would be, there's the two parts, and I can't remember, that starred David Essex. And what are they called now? That'll Be the Day? Does that make sense? Does that sound like the movie?
That's the one with the atomic bomb going off. No, it's not. That'll Be the Day
and
After.
And Ringo Starr plays his father in it. And it's kind of like based on sort of a rockabilly story.
Okay.
But it does have music. It is like a musical. But yeah, it's hard to... I mean,
I consider almost something like The Point being a bit that, like that.
But that was a TV show.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was definitely...
That got no theatrical release?
No.
Really? Because I've seen a movie poster for it. Maybe it like got some afterwards or something.
I don't know. I never... I mean, it's weird because the...
Speaking of Ringo Starr...
The original one was narrated by Dustin Hoffman, though.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And then it went to Alan Thicke.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And then Ringo Starr.
No, it went Dustin Hoffman, you're correct. Then it went to Ringo Starr. That was the version I saw on television.
Okay.
Then it went in modern day to Alan Thicke for no fucking reason. I guess it was just because British accents were too hard to hear.
I wonder if I'm getting mixed up then. Maybe it was always Ringo Starr. Because he and Nielsen were great friends together.
Mm-hmm.
They did a movie that Ringo Starr directed called Son of Dracula that I've never seen. I have the soundtrack by Nielsen for it, but I do not have... And it's a fantastic... The record is... The sleeves fold out like bat wings.
Nice.
So, and then he's like, because he's
why haven't you seen this movie?
I don't know. I guess I could probably find it on YouTube.
I bet you could.
I never bothered to try.
Yes, you should. You could and you should. Put that deck aside.
Yeah. I'm actually going to quit the podcast. I'm going to go and see if I can find this show.
That's right.
Goodbye, everybody.
Now I'm trying to think of a joke about Count Decula.
And then there's, and more related to Beatles, there's the Bee Gees, Sgt. Pepper's, Lonely Hearts Club Band.
There certainly is that. That
was
that
an
exists.
Attempt to try, but I mean, really...
What was that? That was weird. Like, that's beyond weird. It's like, you take the most popular band of the day mm-hmm. and have them do songs of the most popular band of the previous decade.
Yeah.
What's the idea? It's like One Direction mm-hmm. covering Backstreet Boys songs. Why would you do that? You wouldn't do that now, would you?
But
would you?
You would if there was a weird revival of Backstreet Boys.
Okay.
And so at that time, there was this big popularity of the Beatles. You remember Beatlemania?
Mm-hmm.
That was on Broadway. That was a huge success, right? I mean, it toured, came here. I went and saw it when I was grade 8.
I understand. But you know what also is a huge success? The Bee Gees. You don't have to. Like, I can understand a band going like, you know, we need something to boost us up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you're the Bee Gees. You got the number one album. You're top of the charts. You're pop of the mops.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be the mop tops.
Everyone wants to be the Beatles.
Okay. In the year like 2000s, who was like the number one band, would you say? Or a number one band?
In the 2000s?
Yeah. In the knots. Would you say
like a popular
band in the years in the 2000s, like a
I don't know,
like an REM or something maybe, or
I don't think so.
Okay, I'm just shooting shit out here now.
I'm thinking like Oasis or Radiohead. But
okay, let's go.
That's really
let's go Oasis. Oasis is a good one.
Okay,
Oasis. All right. Okay. So you get to Oasis, very popular, and Oasis yeah. goes, we're gonna do all Nirvana cover songs,
okay.
and we're gonna do a film.
Yeah.
Where we're playing. You know that Here Come Now Entertain Us? We're going to recreate that,
yeah.
and we're going to do all the Nirvana songs, uh-huh. and everyone would just go, you're out of your fucking head. You're out of your fucking head, Oasis. What are you thinking? Yeah. Like, but that's what they did. It just seems crackers. And then you get George Burns in it.
And Steve Martin.
I did like Steve Martin's.
And Aerosmith.
Yeah.
And I actually Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I have no problem, actually, with the scenes in there with people like the George Burns or the Steve Martin. Because, like, Steve Martin covering a Beatles song,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that makes sense to me. Like George Burns, that's adorable. When I'm 64 or whatever he's singing,
yeah.
that's adorable. That's fantastic. Bee Gees singing Sgt. Pepper, what the fuck is that? At all?
Did they do Sgt. Pepper?
Well, the film was called Sgt. Pepper. They were Sgt. Pepper's.
I think...
Weren't they? Weren't the Bee Gees Sgt. Pepper's
Aerosmith
band?
I think Aerosmith does the Sgt. Pepper song.
Oh,
Sgt. Pepper's low.
Who were they in there? Who did the Bee Gees play in the movie then? I thought they were Sgt. Pepper.
I don't know. I've never seen it.
Oh.
I have the soundtrack. But I've never bothered to watch. Peter Frampton's in it, isn't he? I saw a bit of the beginning one time and I just thought, you know what? This is 2 hours of my life. I'm never getting back.
It looked to me like they took the cast of Godspell and gave them all a bath.
Mm.
And then it's just like, we're gonna clean it up for the folks. And it's just like, it was just too tidy and too tight. And it was like, this isn't feel right. But I did like the Steve Martin one because he's singing Maxwell's Silver Hammer.
Yeah.
So it's a dark, weird, creepy song, and he's just singing it in a murdery way. Like, yeah. And it was very similar actually to when he did the dentist in Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
He plays a good psycho murdery guy with dark hair really well. Get him doing that again, movies. There's a good murdery fella for you.
It's interesting. I kind of think that the movie musical, like I think that the Beatles could do Hard Day's Night and Help, but after that, they would never do another movie like that. I mean, even Yellow Submarine, they had very little they took had very little input in or interest in.
Well, they didn't want to do it, but then they saw it, they liked it, and they said they'd be at, in the end, yeah. And so they end up in the end of it.
Well, it was kind of contractual.
Was it? Because yeah. I heard they actually saw it and were fairly impressed by it.
Okay.
I don't know. It's impressive. Like, it's not... Like, well, here's the story I heard.
I think it's great.
You tell me if I'm full of shit.
Okay.
They were so burned by seeing the Beatles cartoon, the TV show, which was awful, that when it was like, we're doing a cartoon movie, we don't want any part of it. Then they saw it, and it was this trippy, weird thing that was neat, and they went, yeah, okay. And so they end up just at the end goofing around. And I like them. They seem like they're really having a good time at the end of that movie. They just show up and like, hey, guys, how's it going? Yeah, like, hey, there's the actual
And
guys.
They do that fun song, which if you're a kid is a great song. All adults poo-poo altogether now, but if when you're a kid, that song is fantastic.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, can I have a little more? It's great. And then, you know, they have the audience do a sing-along, which is...
Yeah. Which,
you
know, they want
with
to.
With a bouncing ball. It's good fun. And that film, I think, is a brilliant movie.
Well, I think that, you know, what they do with...
And a lot of the people involved in it were involved with the TV show, which is crazy. But it was...
Redeeming themselves.
It's who they hired to do the character design and layouts and stuff like that. Like, they hired different people for that part.
Well, they also
one
made
guy
it,
in particular.
They also made it sad and creepy, which is great. Mm. That's what you want. You want, like, sometimes, like, a happy song, you want it to be sad and creepy over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, here's what they should do, is do what they do with Sound of Music, where it's a sing-along, and the audience can follow the bouncing ball.
Okay.
Like, just do the whole damn movie, because people would love to sing along with a Beatles movie. Everyone knows the words.
Maybe they should just have it all titled, subtitled for the song parts.
Yeah, totally.
The bouncing ball.
People would be completely game with that.
That's kind of gone out the window, hasn't it? Have you ever seen, like, old cartoons?
With sing-alongs?
Where they have sing-alongs?
Well,
with the
Sound of Music sing-along does very well.
No, but I mean like from the 1930s and stuff like...
Oh, okay.
Like an actual animated cartoon with you know, that you'd play before a movie.
Right.
And the audience could sing along with The Man on the Flying Trapeze. And the one I saw was Little Brown Jug, which is a pretty boring song. I wouldn't want to sing it myself, but...
No. But you've got other things to distract you. You got to realize people in the 30s, they used to, what are you going to do? I don't know. We got a piano. What do you want to do?
The Depression.
Yeah, you sing around the piano, so everyone sings, because what are you going to do? Play the radio? Oh, look at Mr. Big Shot's got a radio. Why don't you sing a song to yourself? So more people sang back then, and I think it was like okay to sing.
Well, I think it's great.
Yeah, I'm all for.
It's sad that people don't sing.
I think they do though. I think people are game for it. Anytime
I saw something so great today.
Oh, okay.
So great.
All right, let me
you
set
just
this up.
Me of it.
All right, ready?
Okay.
It's time for Dave to tell you something good. No, something great. Go.
Okay, so are you gonna set it up for me? So I was driving here today, and I was in a rather slow part on the freeway. Traffic was creeping along, so I had my windows wound down.
That's
rolled
right.
down.
Smoking a big doobie.
Smoking a big fatty.
By the way, everyone, don't do drugs. We've established that.
Playing some beats. No, I was just driving along, and I was driving in silence, and...
angry silence.
I hear...
sound of your gritting teeth.
Why would it be mad?
Oh, so angry.
I don't get mad about stuff like that. So...
I get even.
I hear beside me someone singing, and I look over, and there's this young woman. She's sitting in her car. She's singing along with the radio. Oh, it's so wonderful. And it just made me so happy.
Cool.
Yeah.
No, I think people are game.
And just blithely singing, like... Her windows were rolled down. I could totally hear her singing more than her music, but it was great. It's great.
No, I was just listening to a live album of Jonathan Colton songs, and yeah, he's you know, he gets the audience to sing a lot, and people want to sing. People love singing.
Yeah.
Like I say, like I keep coming back to Sound of Music because I can't think of the other ones they've done of this, but people love an opportunity in a venue where you can sing and not have people go and judge you.
Well, you remember Sloan, who suck, according to our waitress a little while back.
That's right.
They're terrible live.
They are. Oh, apparently they're terrible live.
Yeah. Actually, they're great live.
No. Waitresses say they're terrible.
I was at one of their concerts one time, and there was a guy right behind me.
Really like Sloan, by the way.
Singing in his beery breath all the wrong lyrics. The whole concert. The whole concert.
Nice.
He had his own soundtrack to that show.
Wouldn't it be funny if he was the guy who actually wrote the songs?
Once again,
and he was like, you know what? These fuckers changed my lyrics. I'm going to go to every concert and I'm going to sing the right lyrics. And someone at some point is going to turn to me and go, those are even better. And he'll go, thank you. I can now leave. And then he'll just like pack up his things and go. And that's all he's waiting for, is for you to just turn to him and go like, those are even better lyrics.
Yeah. One of the Sloan live shows was someone was complaining that they stopped the show to see if someone was all right. And this person was complaining, because I've been to a few different shows, and it has happened that they've stopped playing to shoo someone away. Like one time, I was at a show, and this guy was violently, you know, trying to start a mosh pit. But people didn't want to. So it was basically one person slamming himself into other people.
Ugh.
And so, you know, they stopped the show and asked him to stop. That seems fair.
Yep.
Why complain? Then there was another show, and I was actually right near this person. But apparently this guy was standing behind this woman, and he was groping her.
Oh, balls. Okay,
and
all
so
right.
They had him removed.
Yeah, yeah, as you should.
He noticed from the stage. I was standing right there. I didn't even notice it. But, you know, and this lady wasn't doing it. I mean, she looked kind of uncomfortable. But I thought it was just because this guy was uncomfortably close to her.
She's also probably at the situation, like, what's she going to do?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
So, yeah.
There's a real trust thing to being in that kind of environment.
Yeah, so Chris Murphy, the bass player, noticed, and he said, you out. And so the bouncers came and took him away.
Good, good.
The really embarrassing thing, though, is...
It was you.
They have this great... Yes, Lisa was really mad at me.
Because it was Lisa.
Well, that's the thing. I said, it's my wife.
Let's pretend we don't know each other and just see how much trouble we can get into at the old Sloan concert.
You look uncomfortable when I do this. Well, I was at a Sloan show. Lisa and I, we always get there early because we're stupid. Because
you want to put out a picnic
we get down to that. I like to be at the front. I like to be as near to the front as I can for any concert.
Right.
I want to stand for the whole show and be right up there at the front.
Sure you do.
And so we went
that way you
early.
Can do a crossword puzzle. You can always like have your arms over the barrier and just be doing the jumble during the boring songs and look up at them and like,
that's why
keep going. I'm fine.
That's why I have an e-reader. So we got there early. We watched the opening act.
Right.
There's a good act, you know, but there's very few people there. And then once, you know, Sloan were coming pretty soon, so people started to kind of drift up there.
Yeah.
And this one guy decided that where I was standing, or where Lisa and I were standing, was where he and his girlfriend wanted to stand.
Mm.
So he put himself right beside me, even though there was lots of room all around us, but there was no one there.
Right.
He put himself right beside me and then started to lean on me with his elbow. And at first I was like, okay, this sucks, but I'm not going to move, so you can keep doing that whatever you want, buddy. He kept leaning. Then he was leaning against me so much, though, that if I had moved, he would have fallen over.
Yeah.
Like, and so I kind of started to lose it. I was getting really mad. So finally, I, like, bent my hip away from him, and I just gave him, like, this enormous body check. And because he was so off balance, he actually flew away from me about 8 feet. And like I say, there was no one else around us, so it was just like clear sailing. He just went flying away from me.
Yeah.
Then he came running at me.
Yeah.
He was so mad. So as he came running at me, I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to, you know.
Yeah.
So as he came running at me.
Well, Bugs Bunny would have kissed him on the mouth.
He had his fist kind of, his arm kind of cocked.
Yeah.
And so as he came towards me, I grabbed his arm and I wrapped my arm around his arm. And then I bent him down and I grabbed him by the throat. And then I didn't know what to do then. Because my problem is my anger lasts about 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And then I'm standing there with a person's neck in my hand. And so I just said, don't push me. And then I just let him go. I just lifted him up. And to me, that was the end of it. Unfortunately, I did this at a Sloan concert. So the roadies came out, or the security came out, and they made us separate. And we had to stand. So we both lost our great place.
Yeah.
If he had just stood beside us, we both could have been stage center for most of the show. We probably would have got jostled out of the way eventually. But we would have been stage center for most of the show. Instead, both of us had to watch the show at oblique angles from opposite side of the stage.
What do you think he was thinking? Like, how do you think he was thinking this is going to play out? Like, this guy's just going to get like, forget it. And he's going to like
that's what
give
he
up?
Yeah.
You think that's worked in the
he
past
not,
for him?
He did not know that I'm a stubborn jerk.
No, you're not a jerk. Someone putting their elbow on you, that's a jerk move.
It was kind of irritating.
I did, I don't often get into physical stuff, but there was one where a guy almost got hit by a car, and the car just screeched, like, it came like less than an inch from hitting him. Like, it was bad. It was, like, around a corner, clearly the car's fault, and the guy who almost got hit does the slap in the roof of the you know, with the hood of the car, and he's like, oh, you fucking idiot, and then he's walking across the street. Well, the guy in the car gets out ready to fight.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit. And there's just something, like, the guy who's going to get hit is smaller, and I'm like, I can't fucking do nothing. Shit, shit, shit. So the guy's running out. I run after, and the guy's like pulling back to punch him. I grab his wrist and just spin him, and he falls on his bum. because he wasn't. And yeah. I just go, knock it off.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, ah, fuck you both. And then he gets in his car and drives off.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, it's just like, yeah, the people that are fighty aren't thinking well.
No.
No one's got a plan.
No one's got a plan.
And I think if you break their plan, I think if you break their rhythm, it's like confusing a chicken sometimes. You know, it's just like you do something the chicken's never seen before, and it's like, I guess I'm not going to peck you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. It's uncomfortable, and you feel gross for like about a half hour at least. Your adrenaline's going in a dumb way, and you feel like a jackass.
I agree with you. Well, I just feel embarrassed.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. That's what I mean.
I just feel humiliated.
Like, yeah.
I just totally
this
lost
it. This isn't me.
And,
yeah, this is like, what did we get? It came to this, huh? Ugh, I'm that guy.
That's the worst part of it. Like, to me, because, you know, how Sloan treat their audience, that, you know, I was the jerk in the crowd. Ugh.
And I don't want to, some people came up to me after, like, what's going on? And like it was like, want to hear a cool story. I'm like, I don't want to tell a fucking cool story. I don't want to be part of a cool story. It's like, this is stupid. Yeah. I don't believe in it. Yeah. I want to go read a comic book about people beating people up. Yeah, ugh. We're not fighters, folks, is what we're saying.
Yeah. Not even a lover.
No.
No. I don't know what I am.
Got into a dumb internet, I didn't even get into a dumb internet fight this week. But, like, I'm having a bit of a conflict with a restaurant that's nearby.
Mm-hmm. There's I thought of an idea for that.
Okay, I would like to hear your idea after I explain what the situation is. Mm-hmm. There's a restaurant nearby. I'm not going to say the name of it. But they during the summer months, they've opened, like, later than normal. Now they're open till 1. And there's a lot of smokers that hang in an area that you can't legally smoke. And what happens is the smoke comes up, and it gathers in our office, which is above and like one over.
Yeah.
And so I've been trying to get people to move basically 10 feet down the street to smoke where it would not bother anybody. And had a guy, and I complained about this online, and one of the customers decided to get all the insulty with me. And it was actually kind of fun because you could tell he was like really angry.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I guess I should get really calm and polite. Let's get so polite.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, yeah. And
I saw your exchange. I particularly like your, thanks for your question though, Chris. Oops, I shouldn't say his name. But
yeah.
That was good. I just like that very calm. Well, thank you for joining the discussion.
Well, it just felt like, you know, we were having kind of a little back and forth about some real suggestions and some funny suggestions. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's fun. And then it was like, oh, the internet showed up.
Yeah.
You know, that guy, fifth on every message board, calling you a fag. You know, that guy shows up. But it wasn't fag. To me, it was twat. Yeah. It was like, I'm a twat. Because, you know, just, what are you going to do? A twat. Like, yeah, why don't you just move 10 feet over? How are you going to control the world? I'm not. Just move 10 feet over. I'm just asking you, not the world. I'm not releasing the world.
Took it really personally.
Took it personal, made it personal. Yeah. Well, because if you step in the way of someone enjoying themselves in any way, you're always going to get that.
Mm.
Yeah. It's like, how dare you?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not the parents from Footloose. It's just, you know, the smoke is filling my office. I'm like every day, the next morning, I feel like back when I used to work in bars. And I'm feeling it in my lungs.
Yeah.
And my wife has asthma.
Yeah.
And she can't work. And it's just like, no, fuck off. And also, you're breaking the law. So fuck off. Yeah. I don't care you're having a good time. Just have it like 10 feet over. That's all you need to do. But what was your suggestion?
Well, a lot of people have suggested
dropping shit on them.
Dropping shit on them.
Yeah, because I want to start a fight and get a brick through my window. Like, that's where it's going to end, right? That's where it's going to end. Like, if I drop something on someone, who's the assaulter? Me.
That's the brilliance of my suggestion.
Okay, here's Dave's suggestion.
Is you run a hose from somewhere else. Because really, their suggestion doesn't work because you have an awning directly under your window.
Yeah.
They can hide under the awning.
Yeah.
A hose that goes directly underneath the, you know, because they have no awning for their restaurant.
Right.
You know, so I'm just saying, make it a little more, get a bit more direct.
No,
I know you can't.
No.
I know you can't do that because that's not the point of it. The point of it is, you know, not I'm breaking the law to make you not break the law. The point is that, you know.
It's me not trying to call the cops.
Let's just be
like trying to do everything between me calling the cops, which I can do, which now annoys the police and fines you. And I don't want to fine anybody.
Yeah.
You know, but what I was doing before here, my steps were, first of all, I gave a note to the restaurant last year. This started last year.
Okay.
Gave a note to the restaurant saying this is a situation. If they could just move, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. Then I just went down and talked to the regulars and there's a couple of staff members there and said, okay, if you could just move 10, my wife's got asthma. Oh yeah, of course. But they keep coming back out of habit. They don't think about it, and they keep coming back. So a couple of times I've done, and then I don't want to be the guy that goes down every time. It's weird. So I put a sign up saying, "Please don't smoke under open windows." Thanks.
Yeah.
You know, not "Hey, you fuckers, you better," you know, or "Here comes the hammer," is like that, and so it generally worked.
Yeah.
So this year, it's starting again. I put the sign up, and it just kept getting defaced every time. You know, just please do smoke under open windows. Sign paying customers. Close your windows, buddy, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, all right, fine. This is a sense of entitlement there. What's this is that. So,
it's that generation.
Yeah. No other generation would be like, you know what's the nice thing about the Beatles? Nice young boys. Same with the Rolling Stones. You know, that's what they used to say about the Rolling Stones. Don't you want your daughter to date one? Yeah. Sure do. They're wearing suits and they're making money. They got jobs. They're wearing suits.
Yeah.
Good fellas.
Yeah.
You can tell. So the way things are right now, I put something online saying just like, hey, you know, I don't want to say it in a way like whenever people say, and all I did was I just did this and it was this and that. I don't want to say like I'm Johnny Innocent, you know, because everyone always makes themselves look good. And then the other guy says to me, hey, buddy, I like it. Did they talk like that? No, they didn't. Let's try and say how it actually went down. I put up a thing just saying like, hey, Wall of Flower, the smokers are really like choking us out tonight, which goes up on their website. And so they got upset about that. So the way things are now, the guy said to me, the manager, I wish you'd come to me first. I did. I wish, you know, I went to his employees and them first.
Yeah.
And they've said they're going to move, you know, at least their staff, you know, 10 feet over.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens, because most times the staff date the regulars. That's not true. The staff smoke with the regulars 10 feet over.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. And I put up a little sign that just states the law.
Okay.
Because they've put up one. They were legally required to put up a sign that's the law, but they put it on the ground where only mice can read. So all these mice who are smoking go up and go, oh, fuck. And they butt out their little tiny cigarettes and they go off.
They weren't bothering anyone.
That's right.
The cigarettes are so small.
Oh, yeah. Mouse smokes are the smallest smokes.
smallest smokes of all.
Yeah.
They're called mouse tails. That's just the name for them. I'm not making it up. I think it's...
mouse tails.
Woo. I think it's I don't want to say it's that generation, but it is a generation of smokers. Like,
well, everyone was a smoker before. You could legally smoke anywhere out there.
I just noticed when I used to work in parking lots, I noticed there was a different generation smoke. Like if you had a group of people from my generation at a Christmas party, let's say.
Okay, so you're talking about your generation?
Sure, my generation.
Your generation.
Your generation. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
My generation, baby.
Hope you don't die before you get old.
I hope I do. Not too old. That's what I meant to say. Please, God. Let's not take me away too early. I just noticed that, like, with people of a certain generation, say my age group around there, you'd have, like, a certain number of people smoking outdoors.
Right.
Then when you had a different company there with way younger people, you had almost everyone at the party was outside smoking. And, you know, there's a few older people inside, you know, looking outside going, why is everyone outside? But it just seemed like it's a generation. Like, so
but couldn't
kind of
our generation smoke inside anyway?
Well, no, I'm not just saying. I just think in our generation there was less smokers.
Okay.
So it didn't matter where they smoked. I just think...
Do you think that has something to do with it, that it has become taboo and it has gone outside? So, like, it used to be, where are people smoking? They're smoking inside, so you can smoke... Or not smoke.
Our generation could, well, for a time. I mean, when did...
I mean, we couldn't smoke at school. I remember, like, we couldn't smoke as in...
Well, we had a smoke pit.
We did have a smoke pit, but I mean, like, as... that's true, high school, but also college. You couldn't smoke, like, inside the... You smoke in a certain area.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to be social with the cool kids,
yeah,
you had to go to the smoking area.
Yeah.
And then I think because smoking was banned and you had to go to the smoking area, it became a place like, that's where you socially smoke, is out here. It's the kitchen party kind of situation.
Yeah.
I am miming a cigarette for some reason, for no damn reason.
You're just practicing your mime skills, man.
That's right. Doing a little object work. Why not?
Sure. I like that you threw it away.
Yeah, I did. Which the mime in me wants to stamp it out.
Just one second.
Oh, Jesus. If you were an OCD mime, you'd just have to be turning off the imaginary stove. You'd have to be washing your hands with imaginary soap.
I was just spraying out. I just was using the fire extinguisher.
Yeah, though you were making a sound effect. That's okay.
I am kind to our podcast listeners.
That's true.
This show is not mime friendly.
That is true. No, I think I can see why they smoke, because it's the social thing to do. You go
it's
out.
Social
and
thing to do. It has a taboo about it.
Yep.
And it's a generation of people who want to break the taboo.
Yeah, the person who was like posting all this stuff, I just went, well, let's see this guy's Facebook page. It's just pictures of him smoking outside. Like it couldn't have been more. Like it looked like a trap. frankly. It looked like a trap. It looked like, oh, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make this fake account. We're going to drive this fucker nuts. We're going to, like, just have pictures of the thing that he hates. And then what he's going to do is he's going to say something. He's going to go too far. And then we go after him.
Yeah.
That's the way it's going to go. It's like, ah, your honey trap ain't going to work on me, buddy. Not going to do that.
Was his last name Chris Tarbaby? Is that his?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I was just going with the nice honey trap idea of, like,
prefer, you know, Tarbaby.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you prefer, like, a kind of a Brer Rabbit thing, yeah, thing over rabbit. A sexy lady?
Yes.
All right. Fair enough.
This is more visually interesting, the Tarbaby.
How is it, and I don't know if I brought this up with you before, how is it, like, Disney can't show Song of the South?
They can.
Well, but they won't.
They won't.
Ever. Yet, all the characters from Song of the South are at Disneyland.
Yeah, and Splash Mountain.
Yeah, how's that?
Well, it leaves
out... Do people go, what's this from?
It leaves out...
Never you damn mind.
The thing is, it leaves out the person... What is his name? The guy telling the stories.
I want to say Uncle Rebus. Is that right? That's not right. Uncle Rebus?
Maybe. I don't know. It's been wiped out of my mind by Disney.
Uncle Rebus. I think it is.
My mind has been... I was thinking Uncle Rastus, but I don't think that's true.
No, that's not right at all.
Different one.
Okay, I want to sidebar for 1 second.
Your Honor?
Yeah, I want to sidebar and talk...
Approach the bench, please.
All right, I'm going to approach you with a Disney question I thought I was thinking of this week.
Okay.
I was reading the original Pinocchio story.
Oh, wow, that's very dark. I tried to read it when I was a kid.
Incredibly dark.
By Carlo Menotti.
Holy shit, dark.
Yeah.
Okay, but then it got me thinking about the...
Can I just say, it was given to me as a child in elementary school as a book to read.
Yeah.
By, like, a well-meaning adult.
Right.
Who had never read the book or
did you read it?
I tried to... I was in grade 3 or 4, so it was
It's rough.
It was a bit over my
head.
There
are a couple of movies that actually take the original text and take it out, and it's horrific. Okay. So, okay, it's just
is
weird.
Is that Pinocchio in space?
Yes. No one can hear you lie. So with the Pinocchio movie, the Disney version, just the Disney version, I was thinking about it, and maybe you can answer this, maybe not. Does anyone in the Pinocchio film have any repercussions, aside from Pinocchio...
For what they do. Besides turning into donkeys.
Okay. Now, the people that turn the boys into slaves, no repercussions?
No.
The puppeteer who's evil, no repercussions? Honest John...
In the story.
No repercussions?
In the story, you're saying, right?
Yeah, in the story. Does anyone evil in the story have any repercussions? Like, the boy isn't evil, he's mischievous, he's a misbehavior and a slackard. Mm-hmm. Slackard, does that make sense? So he pays for his sins dearly. Does anyone else in the, even Monstro, who seems to know what he's doing, does anyone suffer at all except for that kid and Pinocchio in the story? Any payback, any repercussions?
I don't think so.
Nope. That's weird.
I don't think so.
That's weird. Like, I know it's a morality, but it's the only Disney movie where none of the villains get punished and they all seem to be just continuing their ways, and it seems the darkest part is it seems to be accepted by everybody.
Yeah.
Now, in the original Pinocchio story, like in the Pinocchio movie, you don't see what happens to the kid who's, like, basically sold to the mines. You know, like, he's been sold to the mines.
You kind of do see that in the movie.
A little bit.
It's hinted, well, it's basically they don't show it, but you're told that that's their ultimate fate.
Right. And, you know, maybe perhaps a donkey show in Mexico. We don't know. So...
if they're lucky.
In the movie, in the book, what happens is that boy, Pinocchio goes to visit him again to see where he's at. Because what happened to Pinocchio is he gets turned fully into a donkey.
I'm glad you apologized to your microphone for hitting it.
Yes. Now, some donkeys go to work.
Yes.
And some donkeys get killed for their coats. Because they want that leather. And Pinocchio is one of the kids who's killed for his leather. So how they kill the donkey is they throw him down a well. And that's what they do to Pinocchio.
This is in the book.
Yes, this is the book.
Okay.
Pinocchio is a donkey, and he's going to be drowned.
Okay.
Like donkeys get drowned for their coats.
Sure.
So they drown him in a well, and the fish eat everything that's not Pinocchio, because the child is still in the... He's just wrapped in a donkey outfit. So the fish eat everything that is not Pinocchio, mm-hmm. and he becomes a puppet again.
Yeah.
He floats to the surface. Holy cow, that was a tough one. and goes to visit his friend.
Yeah.
Now, his friend has just been worked so hard, and he dies in front of Pinocchio from being worked and beaten to death. And that's the story, folks. And in this book, it's like one of those German... nursery rhymes where, hey, you're sucking your thumb. Well, here comes a guy and he cut off your thumb. Yeah. I guess you learned your lesson. The end. Germans have the worst rhymes.
it's because you've translated it.
Yes.
You know, it's harder. When you translate, it rhymes in German.
Yeah, there's a whole series of German, nursery rhymes where it's all the kid misbehaves in the slightest way. Mm-hmm. You know, he looks askance at something, and then a raven grabs his eyeballs and just eats them.
I just want to say
that
when you're a kid, those are the greatest stories.
The Pinocchio one was... you see, here's the thing.
You liked the movie when you were a kid.
Do you know what?
You didn't say, I'm horrified.
Yes, I did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Pinocchio... No, I think the Pinocchio film is the scariest of all the Disney films.
Well, it's scary, but you weren't you weren't morally horrified
by
it.
No, but why you're horrified about the Pinocchio movie more than the others is, you know, here's the thing, like, when
because
you're...
Because he's you.
Well, it's a bit... It's kind of you. But here's... But, like, you get Snow White, right? And it's like, the witch is terrifying. She, like... Yeah. There's a guy who's reaching for water, and he dies. He's a skeleton. She kicks the water thing over because it's... Do you know what I'm talking about?
In the movie?
Let me explain the scene then. You've forgotten it. Here's the
this
scene.
Is it in the movie?
Yes, in the movie. It's her... It's the evil queen.
Yeah.
She's walking by a dungeon and there's a skeleton in the dungeon and the skeleton is reaching for a pitcher of water.
Oh, on the wall.
No.
Oh,
he's actually like... You only see him from the stomach... Not stomach. From the chest up because he's low. He's in a low dungeon.
Okay.
He's reaching through the bars.
Oh, okay.
There's the pitcher he's been reaching for, but he never met it, and he's skeletonized, and he's there, and she like smiles, and she kicks it over, thinking like, "I have some water," and a spider runs out, and it's like, she is fucking evil. She's evil as evil can be.
Even spiders can't have a home around her.
So she's kind of scary. She's terrifying. She does a whole thing. Mm-hmm. But what you get by the end of the movie is, she fell to her death, and she got her comeuppance. The end.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Like in all the films, the villain. Get their comeuppance, there's payback and everything.
Here's the thing. How did they know how to follow her? Like, they come back, like, to me, it's like 20 minutes later or half an hour later. They show up.
Yeah.
They find Snow White. They spend some time looking at her body.
Yeah.
And then one of them goes, hey, fellas, that way.
Okay.
It must take place in the prairies.
Well, no. Look, all right, we're just going to get into this because we can. And then we'll get into the greater theme of why Pinocchio is the scariest film of all time. If you're the dwarves, you've lived in the woods all your life, you know the woods, you can track shit in the woods, because you have to hunt, you have to do things, and he's looking down and going like, hey, look at these high-heeled footprints. Is that you, Dopey? Is that you, Grumpy? Nope. I bet
is that you, Tranny?
Could be. Is that you? I bet that's the queen, so follow the footprints. Okay. It wouldn't be too hard to find her.
Yeah.
But in all the Disney films, you get comeuppance for your actions. So at the end of the movie, the villain is not still villainizing. But in the Pinocchio world, everything's still going on. Everything that was is.
Yeah.
He's just now a living child and in even more danger. The only thing that saved your life all those times was being made of fucking wood. You have now taken away your one advantage, that your immortality. Good luck, flesh and blood. The world full of, like, you know, donkey making out of boy, you know, work you to death, evil shits. Terrible.
Well, but real.
The
world is kind of a dangerous place, so I suppose it's not terrible to tell children to be careful.
Now, do you lose anything in the Pinocchio story if Honest John and his mentally challenged cat companion get their comeuppance at the end somehow? Like, if you know, do you lose anything if the coachman is shut down somehow, or he turns into a donkey? Or something. Like, do you lose anything?
I don't think you lose anything or gain anything. I think
you gain something. You gain justice. You gain, hey, the guy working children to death does not exist anymore. So that's because Geppetto gives a fuck. You know, maybe people care.
Oh, I don't know if Geppetto knew about that stuff, though.
He never mentions?
Or maybe Pinocchio mentioned it to
him. Do you know who does know? The blue fucking fairy. Mm. So, hey, get on that shit, blue fairy, with all your powers.
Not her department.
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing. Okay,
you always want everyone to fix everything in movies.
Jiminy Cricket. Jiminy Cricket's big fucking thing in this is, hey, listen, buddy. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are.
Mm-hmm.
When you wish upon a star, that dream comes true.
Yeah.
I guess those kids who were turning into donkeys didn't wish hard enough.
Yeah.
Little wishers.
It's funny to see that actor who played Jiminy Cricket in the movie His Girl Friday, the Cary Grant and Rosalind Russell film.
I have not seen that yet. Netflix right now.
He plays a boozy, smoky journalist in it,
cool.
Yes, Ukulele Ike, but I can't remember the actor's real name. But
In the original Pinocchio book,
He dies in the first chapter.
He dies instantly. Like, yeah. I'm your conscious. Squish. Watch. There we go.
I think that was off-putting to me as a child, too.
Do you know what I think that says is, you know, there used to be a comic that I liked as a young man, take a drink, called What If? And they would do, you know, at certain points in Marvel's history, you know, Spider-Man would try to join the Fantastic Four, and they'd say no. And they'd go, like, what if he did?
Yeah.
And he'd follow him in line. What if Rick Jones got the Hulk powers instead of Bruce Banner? And I think in this one, is like, the big switch there is, you kill Jiminy Cricket, the world goes all Saw. It's just, it's horror porn from that point on. Terrible. Terrible, terrible.
Well, is it? He never listens to Jiminy Cricket anyway. Whether Jiminy Cricket's there or not, as a voice of a conscience, he's pretty much ignored.
Do you know what? I think you
did
can...
Did he listen to him and go to school?
There's a difference between... Here's the difference.
Did he listen to him and not follow his friend whose name I can't remember who
now,
turns into
now
a
Dave, here's the difference. If you have a conscience and you don't listen to it,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Then you're you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a conscience,
yeah.
You're a sociopath.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
So Pinocchio is a sociopath. And he's watching...
He's a wooden puppet.
Yeah, he's a puppet who's a sociopath who's just, like, killed for his skin and watches his friend die and does not go, revenge! And I think later someone tries to boil him as well, you know, as they do people.
Yeah.
Terrible. Terrible world. Terrible, terrible world.
Sounds interesting.
I want to see now the Roberto Benigni version and see if they stick to any of that business in that.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they have a more morbid sense of humor in Italy. They can put up with that sort of thing, whereas here in North America, we're so effete, we can't stand. That's where we just wave our hands. It's so horrible.
Really? We do make the Hostel movies. Have you seen those?
No, I don't like torture
okay,
porn.
Okay, we do. I know, we did basically, you know, we're pretty, you know, torture porny now.
But we base those in other places to make ourselves feel better.
Okay. I mean, I look at something like now.
That's something that they would do over there.
I think we hide our dark messages better now. Like your Adventure Time is about, you know, a boy and his dog in the apocalypse, and it's pretty dark if you actually
is it
like
the
look
apocalypse?
At. Basically, yeah.
I don't know.
He's the only kid still alive. If you look, there's a lot of shit
that says
like. I don't
think of it that
way.
It's funny that you.
No,
think
it's
of it
nice.
That way.
No, it's not. Think of it that way. It is.
Is that
they're
what
the
it's
last
based
kids.
On? That's what it's based on.
Basically, yeah.
So, you read this? They just told that.
It shows you that. It
How?
Really,
How?
Just they give you hints throughout, very strong hints. He's the only kid still
yeah,
alive.
Yeah.
He's it.
And I the never noticed that.
Okay.
It's funny that you read it that way.
It's not funny. It's real. That's what it is.
It's not real. It's a TV show, but okay.
Okay. It's real in that fiction is really existing, and I can go
no,
into fiction and
not,
read it.
It's not really existing.
Really? So all those characters in your Jane Austen don't really exist? So when you tell me their motivations and things they do in different situations, they don't really exist?
Yeah. That's what it is.
Okay.
They're just on a page.
I understand that.
I can't go back and visit they're, with them as Dave, much as I'd like to.
Dave, they're not just on a page. They're in your heart.
Well, that is true.
They're in you. They're in me. They're in all of us. I'll find some sort of reference for you. Back when I was going to be working on the comic book, I did a lot of research into it. And yeah, he's the last kid on Earth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's an apocalypse. You know, you see a
this
person...
You're not reading from Wikipedia, are you? You're telling me
I'm
from
I'm reading
the
from
show.
Many things. When is Wikipedia wrong? Find me Wikipedia being wrong and we'll talk. Find me that. Look it up on Wikipedia. See if it ever says it's wrong. I like that Wikipedia has become the it's the wrong thing.
Well, no, I don't mean it's
but
wrong.
But it isn't really.
But I just mean it as in people are writing their opinions still. In
okay,
Wikipedia,
but then
though.
Here's the thing: if you've ever tried to just write an opinion,
because they're
on
just sourcing. I mean, they're taking their stuff from other
yeah,
sources, but
right.
That doesn't mean that other sources are correct.
That is
it's
true.
It's people's interpretation of what.
That's kind of how encyclopedias
is.
Work, though, too, isn't it?
Well, it depends what we're talking about. If we're talking about facts that. You know, Adventure Time is made by these certain people.
Right.
It's made from this time to this time. I'll accept those as facts.
Okay.
But if you're going to tell me that what it means is,
it's not what,
or what it
means.
Represents
oh,
is,
boy.
Then you're
I think this is a pretty. This is a pretty basic thing. I think this is.
No,
this
it's
is
not basic.
No, it is.
No,
it really
not.
Is. You
no,
just haven't
not.
Researched it enough. Really.
But I don't have to research it. I watch the show a lot.
Uh huh.
I've seen almost all the episodes.
All right. Where's the other people?
Up on this.
Where are the other people in it? Anyone?
It's a fantasy.
I know it's other. I know it's fantasy.
There's bubblegum people.
I understand.
There's vampire people.
There sure are. Are there any people? People?
There's a fraud. A king made of ice.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Or
any other people
ice.
In there at all?
No, but it's a fantasy.
Interesting. Okay. All right. No, I know that I can prove this, so I'm not. I'm doing this. Like I'm just letting you go. Like it's fine. I know I can prove this to you.
Ah, you're full of it.
No, you won't. Well, you're setting yourself up for next time, David.
I don't
David.
Want any Wikipedia
Dave,
interest.
I know what to do when this kind of thing happens. I've learned this from the internet. I'm just getting more and more polite. I respect your right to say words. Interesting.
Fuck you, man. I can smoke in Adventure Time all I want.
Dave.
Yeah.
These are all just words on the internet.
It's true. No.
Digitized. They're not even words. They're just digital bits and bops and bytes, brother. That's all we're doing. We're bipping, bopping, biting on here. We're just filling up hard drives. That's all we're doing. You know what? Long after we're dead, these things are going to be floating around. You know, listened to by robots, brother. That's what it's going to be. Hey, Dave, the internet. Beatles or Rolling Stones?
Beatles.
Nice. Let's end with that.
Oh, okay. We're going to end then. So I guess that's the end of the show, everybody. It just was announced.
I feel like we've gone.
We need to have more memos sent back and forth.
We've gone clearly past an hour.
From now on, I want the shows clearly marked.
Okay. A series of index cards.
Yeah, a series of index cards, and I want everything planned out that we're going
to see the beginning of The Prisoner, where it's like all the little punch cards, and like one of them is his picture? I'm going to do you a series of punch cards.
I love that show. All right, everybody. I'm going to go watch The Prisoner.
Okay.
So thanks for tuning in.
And then Secret Agent Man as well, just for fun.
Thanks for tuning in. Remember to like us. That's all. Just like us. I don't care where
That's
you like
right.
us.
That's right. Like us on sidewalks. If you could just draw the sneaky dragon on sidewalks in chalk and take a picture of that, that would be fantastic. We would love that.
That reminds me. There's a local show here that just started. Do you know what it's called?
No.
The Sleepy Dragon.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Let's go get those sons of bitches.
Yeah, let's go right now.
I'm going. Let's go.
Motherfuckers.
Fuck those guys. All right. Let's get them.